My feet, so my socks are wet. I got wet feet, and I'm grumpy.
Oh, man, those are going to be some stinky feet down there.
Yeah, man. You get like that trench foot. It's no good.
Gross. How are the levels? I see the levels.
they're pretty all right.
That's cool. We're in Mid-Ohio again, day three.
That's right.
Day two of the live stream. Pretty wild, wet morning. How's Time Attack been today?
Time Attack was exciting only because not very many drivers are used to driving in the rain.
Especially this level.
I think Ferris specifically tried to go out in the wet session and made it to Keyhole before he spun.
I happened to be watching at the time. And, yeah, he spun, backed up, moved around, kept going. Kept it on track, though.
Made his way back into the pits.
Yeah. That maybe 850 or whatever wheel horsepower, not the hot setup.
Probably
for,
not.
For rain.
And I think he was running like some of the faster 200 treadwear tires on the market.
Right.
And sometimes those are not the best rain setup.
Yeah. Some of the disparity in pace between, you know, the 50 fast 200 treadwear tires evaporates because of tread design in the rain for sure. So had a pretty clean overall Time Attack session first thing. We have one more to go. It might be drying conditions, so that'll be interesting to see what happens, but we'll see.
I'm not convinced at the moment that that we'll have a dry track. I don't know that if we're not getting any sunshine to warm the track up. I don't expect to see it.
Yeah, we do have some breeze though, so breeze definitely helps. I'm gonna look at the schedule. What's up next here? I don't even remember. We have a bunch of HPDE in the afternoon to end the day, and I've pulled this thing up so many times on my phone. When I shut my phone off, it'll probably still show it. Time Attack at 1 o'clock, 1 to 2. So, and then a bunch of HPD at the end of the day. So, hopefully, somebody gets some dry track today. I'm just glad that everybody so far so good in the car to wall department. We haven't had too much of that. So, everybody obeying the don't hit the apex at Mid-Ohio in the rain rule.
Yeah, that's a pretty good rule.
Yeah, the regular line doesn't work here in the rain. So, have you ever driven here in the rain or no?
I have. It's tricky. No.
When was that?
Maybe 2015, probably. So it's been a little while.
Yeah.
And if I remember, it was just like, oh, it's pretty slick.
We have we've raced twice today with GLTC, and we have some in-car footage, and I think the booth's going to queue those up right now. We'll see which one they give us. This looks like Tom O'Gorman here. I'm stunned by the lack of visibility.
Oh, you can't see anything. It looks like this is the back straight, right?
Like literally, there's somebody right in front of him, and you can't see it.
Scary.
Those
people are more courageous than me.
Yeah, totally terrifying. Tom is always a weapon in the rain. Like, he's really good at it. He's on street tires, not like on a Hoosier wet. But the street tires are impressively stable. I mean, you see the spin right there. I believe that is Rob Manicheri. Man, he's following Christoph tight there. Christoph's on.
Lots of counter steer, right, waking their way through madness.
Slight spin by the BRZ off to the left.
I think that was that Pervez?
Yeah, did you see the puddle on the inside before the bridge?
It's huge.
It was like 5 inches deep this morning in the track inspection. Gary did a bit of a track inspection to see if we had any mud on the track, because I guess this place forms a few rivers on the back straight.
Yeah, you see it right at China Beach, where almost every driver was driving right across the river.
Right. That puddle, though, just on the inside after the bottom of the hill before the Honda Bridge, I guess it was 5 or 6 inches deep this morning. So
that's unbelievable.
Yeah, not the best draining facility here.
But Tom, I think Tom is on streets here. He doesn't have a proper set of Hoosier wets.
Yeah, they're performing quite well, though. Look at the pace versus some of these cars. He's actually just about to GLTC horsepower to weight. I think he was about 100 pounds over. It's basically a stock S2000 drivetrain. I think stock computer, stock everything. The car's been a race car for like 14 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah, been a long time. But.
See Brad Adams coming through there, and it looks like Aaron Lichty, who had an off in the very first turn of the race,
went deep,
managed to claw his way back.
Yeah, he clawed his way all the way back, too.
I think he finished, is that fourth place? Was that right?
In this race. I think this is race one here, too.
Yeah. Race one from today.
Yeah. Look, a race that we raced three. Look at the lack of visibility, though. You get in the straight line. Scott Giles, who was up in the start stand with Lisa on the big back straight, he said literally they couldn't see the cars, so they knew the cars couldn't see the green. There was just so much moisture in the air. So
probably only the lead car then, right?
Yeah, I think just the lead three or four probably saw it, and then you only go when you hear it. You hear the engines go, you know.
So tough start. Looks like Tom finishing here. If we make our way to the next driver, we'll see probably what kind of difference having wet tires makes.
Yeah,
but
this is a Lexan windshield too, so that hurts.
That hurts too. Now this is Christoph.
Yeah, Ryan Christoph.
Does he have Hoosier wets?
I believe he's on non-DOT tires because he's. This is an interesting little case here. This car is at full SECA GTL spec. And that, on a case-by-case basis, can be allowed to run in GLTC. He's currently running in exhibition only because of some wording in the rules. So he can't he can run for finishing position, but he can't run for points. So basically, he's out here having a good time. The only difference in GLTC X basically for no points is they can't start higher than. Sixth.
I see.
Can't start in the top five. So he actually would have started at fifth after the shuffle from the shootout yesterday.
Okay.
So he had to be moved to sixth.
Now, is this something that he'll probably be looking to make adjustments in the offseason to become?
The main reason that it's basically classified under, ooh, look at the man, we got a bit of a, car was real sideways in front of him, but you can't see out this Lexan windshield at all. I mean, look, it's terrible visibility. This rain was a little bit lighter. I think this is race two. But yeah, the main reason it's not there hasn't been any changes because we haven't had the data on these cars. So going forward, any GLTC rules changes, we're going to really try to be super, and that's how what we've been for last year's rules changes too. But super data driven. So if we don't have the data to back up the rules change, we're leaving them alone.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have some quite a bit of data from this car this weekend. He also raced Midwest Festival last weekend. So. Yeah, it's the parity's like right on though. He's right there,
Such a good looking
top
car,
five, yeah. Top ten. This is a two frame CRX actually, a first gen model. With the front end's converted to double wishbone. It does use the factory knuckles. Uses a factory style EW engine, twin Weber DCOEs, but straight cut dog box. It's just a rad sounding car. You can actually see the backup camera up in the top left of the screen there. That's a backup camera used for rear view. Because he's in a loud little car there. It's hard to have a good mirror, so you put a camera back there.
That's very cool.
Really, really cool car. The car was built a bunch of years ago. I think it actually has an SECA runoffs title in the chassis that somebody has won the runoffs with that car at one point. So
well, that's awesome.
Yeah, beautiful car, just stunning. If you're in the paddock, go take a look at it before he packs up. He's also functioning as one of our lead instructors this weekend, so we do appreciate Ryan.
How have things been on the beginner side? I mean, this is a challenging track to start
in the rain too. So far, so good. I think we had one beginner go pretty deep this morning and maybe kiss the wall, but it was uncertain. But stuffed it deep into the mud, but drove off on their own power, I think so. I think it's as bad as they get, and this is literally as bad as things get in the slick department. This track, there's none worse in the rain.
So. Yeah, most definitely, and we're sitting here in timing and scoring, and we watch cars come out of the carousel up onto this first main straight, and we've got gravel trap right in front of us, and you see cars pirouette kind of all the way through and just get caught in the end of the gravel here.
Were you up here yesterday in the time attack when I think an S2000 almost hit the wall, like right here?
Yeah, I was.
See him right, you can see the tracks right off to the side there.
Yeah, it's...
He went as deep as they get, I think.
But. Well, Kyle and I were talking about the merit of having gravel versus asphalt, where asphalt runoff is conventionally really, really good as long as conditions are dry.
Right.
But in the wet, I think 10 times out of 10, you'd prefer to have the gravel.
Yeah, it's not going to grab you. The asphalt, you'll just keep sliding across it. This asphalt, this gravel especially, it's like kind of a pea gravel.
Mm-hmm.
So it grabs you hard. But it also, when it's wet, it's like it's sludge.
You're basically beached. There's almost no chance getting out.
If you keep that momentum, you can drive through it.
And so I think Lichty was probably lucky to make his way in race three out of the gravel trap at China Beach onto the track.
What he did was he went in straight. He didn't pitch it in sideways. So he basically, you hydroplane on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But once you sink in, you're done.
Yep.
It's like a snowmobile across a wet, a non-frozen lake. You got to pin that thing. So you could see him. I think actually I was watching the live stream and it sort of showed him like he was probably to the wood once he got into the grass. Like, floor that thing and let's keep rolling. And he worked his way all the way back.
What a great battle to find his way back, I think from ninth or 10th back into fourth place by the end of the finish.
That was a busy race. I mean, we had a couple of spins. And a car deep off in, I think it was one, and the track It was basically a mistaken call. They called for black flag all, meant yellow flag all, so we can send the pace car. So it was quickly fixed. You probably saw some of that on the live stream if you're watching. But yeah, a little bit of a. I mean, 3 days in, the workers are killing it here. They're doing a great job. But once in a while, you do make a missed call. So they fixed it. We were the couple cars that did come in because of the black flag. We were able to find them their spot again.
Oh, that's great.
All's well that ended well there. But a couple pace laps, got everything cleaned up, and really impressed with the GLTC drivers today. So especially,
it's been fantastic. I think we've got about, 34, 35 cars?
I think we had 36 throughout the weekend.
That's a good field.
I think that's the biggest one, I think. I can't remember how many people actually took a start at Midwest Festival last year. So Allison might know. Allison, you know how many people took a start at Midwest last year? Yeah, do you have that data? See if you can find it. Kind of curious. 35 took a start this weekend. So
this is real-time fact-checking provided by Jeremy and Allison Jabe.
Timing and scoring. This weekend, it's my brother and his wife. So the wet at Mid-Ohio, I remember a couple years ago, it was basically raining the entire time for two straight days. I think we had
a dry session.
Yeah, one dry hour, and that was it.
Which, in Time Attack, that's kind of a shame, right? Because you'd prefer that the track conditions stay constant throughout the weekend.
Yeah.
So that the competition is, consistent.
Yeah.
Right? Having a single dry session effectively meant that whoever set the fast lap on that session was going to win.
Yeah. The only session you had a chance. I think actually there were some really fast laps that year too. I think the overall record was set in that first session.
Now, I don't know if you were paying attention to what happened last night, but if you remember a few years ago, we were talking about any street tire cars running sub 130 here on the pro course. And last night, Jackie Ding ran a 129 in street mod. So in a car that's aero and tire limited.
So crazy.
That's pretty darn fast. And so you see that time here. It's a 129.457.
Yeah.
I think that's an exceptional time. And Sean Krebsbach actually said that he was on great pace to have a 29 as well.
Right.
But for some reason, the fuel pump relay, which is mounted upside down in the Evo 9s, it just fell out of the car and the car died.
Hang on. I have to tell Renee that I'm hey, Renee, I'm on the live stream. I'll hit you back in a minute, or grab Gary or timing and scoring if they can help.
So other people going fast in wet conditions. We didn't really see anybody break times this year except for Kobe Shield,
right.
Only because there wasn't a Street GT time set in 2018. But track conditions today much worse than they were in at least portions of the rain last time.
Right. Yeah, that last session was it was sloppy. I mean,
and I think that's a tricky part of having and maintaining wet track records is because quite literally it's a judgment call between Jeremy and I to decide what counts as wet enough to be considered wet.
I think basically we were looking for the full track has to be damp and there's got to be puddles and actually raining.
He and I too were talking about basically there has to be spray coming off cars.
Right. Right,
and if you have that, it's generally considered wet.
Yeah, this is the first time I've actually driven this track in the rain. Maybe I drove it one time years ago, but yesterday, and it was just damp. But man, I forgot how crazy this place is.
Yeah,
I'm shocked that we've had this clean of an event. Because if I was all these drivers, we would have had 60 cars off.
So I haven't been keeping track of GLTC points, but I'd imagine that it's Cattell that came away with the win this weekend.
Yeah, he had three wins, I think.
Second. So yeah, I mean that's a stellar finish.
Oh yeah, and he's going to get that. There was no discrepancies in any of the upper points, so I think that's pretty much locked in. And what do we got here? We had 38 starters at 2019 Midwest GLTC. So, and Mid-Ohio was only 22, so, and 35 today. So pretty good.
So it's a big jump.
Yeah, pretty good jump.
And I was talking to Sean Krebsbach last night about finding his way into GLTC, and I think he's only done five hot laps this weekend. And if you compare that to the amount of laps that a GLTC driver's, it's probably at least 50.
It's
10 times the track
time.
Yeah,
maybe more. So the first practice race, I went out and practice, the very first session on Friday, I went out and in the blend line, my car goes blah, 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 blah. And I thought, oh, crap, I forgot to put fuel in it. And so I made a lap. I came in. I grabbed my wallet. I went up to the gas station. I filled it up, and I still got two more hot laps. there was a lot more laps in GLTC. The cars are generally a little bit more reliable.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're talking about cars making 200, 220 horsepower. Right. It's very different. I mean, the experience is very different than making 600, as an example, where you're not stressing most of the components quite as much.
Right.
But I was talking to DJ Alessandrini last night, and he was saying in his 8th Gen Civic Si, at least with the amount of grip that he has on those Hoosiers, breaks a lot more hubs. Right. So
I believe that. Is he on 245s? I think he is.
I think that's probably right.
If not 225s, both obviously huge, sticky tires. But those cars are known to break rear hubs. Like, it's a known problem. Has been for years when that was a common chassis, like in pro racing. It was basically an every race item, just in case.
Sure. And I think he just changed it because he thought it, like, sounded weird
and
or
it was.
Something.
It was.
And it ended up being broken.
Right. He got lucky on that one. Did you see some of the pictures of his car from, like, practice and qualifying?
I saw
2 feet up in the air.
Yeah, tripod.
Oh, awesome. Crazy bombs. But really impressed with, I haven't talked to you since this, but the shootout, he nailed it on the last lap. He was the last one because he had won that race, so he was the last one in the shootout. And the shootout format was warm-up lap, one flyer lap, and the drivers come in. And he bested his time, got a 35 out of that car. Really, really impressive.
That's fast.
It looked so composed too.
Yep.
Like it was.
And
really cool.
I think it's a more time attack style skill or an autocross skill.
Yeah.
To be able to go out and do your fast lap on one shot.
Yeah.
Whereas a conventional qualifying session in GLTC is 15 or 20 minutes.
Right.
Where drivers get multiple attempts and can kind of get everything right.
Yeah, you can get 5, 8 hot laps without a problem.
Yep.
But yeah, somebody like DJ, especially when the car is set up as he's finally got that car after driving it for a year. I mean, he's a national level autocrosser, and he just went at it. Luckily, it was pretty warm too. So warm up on the cars, it was probably 80 degrees, a little bit sunny. Warm up wasn't quite as hard as like an early morning cloudy qualifying session, but. Went after it and he got it. That was super fun to watch. I watched the replay last night before I went to sleep, and real proud of DJ for that one. That was really cool.
It's a great win, and I mean it's kind of breaking the seal on that. And
yeah.
He, I'm sure, has many more wins available to him. He's a really fast driver, and I think his story kind of impresses everybody.
Yeah, the camaraderie in GLTC this weekend overall has been really good, you want to celebrate the little bit of underdog, somebody that came from basically nothing club racing wise, gets a car, starts building it, you know, puts everything he's got into it, everything he can, and that's a cool story. So
it's racing.
Racing's hard, man.
Well, Kyle and I were talking about it on the show earlier. Racing is very hard, and putting together a top program takes time and money and energy. And if you're not winning, or if you're not having good competition and good camaraderie in the track, there's no reason to show up.
Yeah.
And so, if you're not winning, you still have really good battles in the mid pack, but you have fun in the paddock with your friends. Yeah. I know plenty of people that show up not because they have a chance to win a trophy, but because they just want to be here.
Because it's better than being at home and watching from the sidelines. I'm sort of in the same boat. I mean, I don't have the time or the money to build a competitive GLTC car at the moment, but I have a car that fits pretty well mid pack. And, With all the effort that goes into these events beforehand, I was pretty burned out come Thursday when we got here. But I was glad my car showed up at midnight. I paid our buddy James Morgan to tow it out for me, and I was really glad it showed up, got it set up, and all it took was race one yesterday, and I was back in both.
Well, how far from the limit of GLTC are you on the power to weight?
I'm probably, my car makes 160. On a perfect day, the tune's a little bit off because we tuned it when it was 30 degrees, but my car should make 160, 162. So I would, at the current weight right now, I got to lose about 20 pounds. So that's about 20 of the 100 that I would like to drop, and my car will be right there.
You got that COVID-19?
Yeah, no. I got about a COVID-15, and now I'm down about 15 of that. So I think I'm back to pre-COVID size, Adam.
Well, that's good. So, there's just more of Adam to love.
Yeah, or in the case of some time check drivers, dislike.
Yeah. You know what? We'll say that scrutineering time attack is really tricky.
It's not fun either.
The rule book is deliberately gray in some areas, and sometimes it isn't.
Yeah. We had to make it. It's tough when you do have to talk to people that you like and you want them to come and participate, and you have to tell them, hey, you're not following the rules the way we want you to follow the rules, and here's why. And they like it. The hardest part is these people are your friends.
Yep.
And you want them to all be on the level playing field. In the past, we've had to make some gray area calls, and sometimes, obviously, you're going to have people on both sides of those, support, unsupport, etc. One of the ones we had to make today, definitely not gray area, but it's not fun to deal with this stuff.
You know, when you look at a time attack rule book, there are some rules that are directly correlated to, you know, performance and performance potential in a car. Mm-hmm. And there are some rules that aren't, but they help frame the spirit of the class.
Right.
And it's not fun to enforce a rule that is related to the latter, right? If it doesn't directly translate into a performance advantage, it's tricky. But, you know, if you're knowingly out of compliance, you got to do something.
Yeah, it's not fun. But overall, I think really, really good weekend of time attack overall.
Yeah. I did not expect to see Swenson in the 26s. I mean, that's 3.5 seconds off of James Houghton's time.
It borderline terrifies me to think, like, if we had probably next year's dialed unlimited cars, like how fast they're going to go.
Yeah.
It's going to be wild.
I think the last time we saw the true potential of unlimited cars was probably at Road America,
right,
where James Houghton did a 2:08, which is a darn fast time on that
track.
And
there's probably time left in it, too.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, there has to be, because
like four laps?
If you do three or four laps at a track you've never been to, of course there's going to be more.
Right. And in like three laps, he set the fastest production-based car record, like of all time, anybody, and it was in a Honda Integra, Acura Integra. So,
well, I frame that time attack record because that car makes, you know, 800 plus horsepower, and it has all the downforce. The Level 5 D Sports racer at Road America once went like 153 on video.
Oh yeah,
and. Well, that's fast. And that car only made 350 horsepower.
But it also weighed about 600, 800 pounds.
Fine. I'm just saying that there's plenty of upside on times at Road America.
Yeah, you can go real fast at that place. But the speed, that's the thing that scares me. That's a place we have to – I want more safety in these cars. And I think we talked about it on the show before, but I think some of the changes in the rule book next year, I want to encourage, and I almost want to reward – more safety. I don't quite know what I want to do. I'm open to ideas.
So I think it's a tricky problem, because when the classes were built, they were meant to be open and accessible and have safety in mind. But as the pace of cars has progressed,
unbelievable.
Even the street class cars are going fast enough now where it's, you know, it's not like taking your street car to a track day. This is a competition car built for a competition class that maintains some street ability.
Right.
And they're very fast, and accordingly they're very dangerous if you make a mistake. And so, you know, how do you make it accessible but also make sure that you have maximal safety, because those cars at the front definitely would need it.
Well, I don't know. I think we got some thinking to do. We got a little bit of time, but I really, really want to see a lot of safety is the number one thing that I want to see next year. And obviously that's a goal all the time.
I bet you're going to be welding in cages for like 50 people.
Man, there's no way. I ain't got the time.
I can't
stay awake that long.
You got to be in the cage welding business.
I'm not that good at it. I'm okay at it.
You can just get Tall Kyle to help you.
Yeah, he's pretty good at welding. Yeah, maybe. We'll see. there's a lot of good cage builders out there. I can give you some recommendations, but, yeah, so far so good this weekend. We got one more time attack session coming up pretty soon, and 1 o'clock at current time is what, 12:35. So I don't know. Mid Ohio 3 days. This is a long time.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm glad we're here for 3 solid days, because everybody got, you know, probably the amount of seat time we wanted to give them. Big field. We tried to price it competitively, and I think everybody's having a good time. So
hope so. It's I don't think the track's going to be dry for the last time attack session, but
like
probably a few more drivers going out and having some fun.
Yeah. It that's really the main goal, though. If they're out there having fun, setting some laps, it's better than being at home. So
definitely.
Got anything else?
I got nothing.
You feeling good?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Gonna go yell at somebody?
Nope. No, I don't yell at anybody.
Yeah. All right, I'm gonna go see what Renee wants. I think we're done with GLTC points, so that's probably what she wants.
Oh, trophies for
we gotta do that.
Time Attack that were for all awards.
Did
you know what time those are gonna be?
They're whenever you guys are done with Time Attack results. I can do GLTC pretty soon, probably.
Okay, they're in my RV. The wood of the selected wood for trophies at Mid Ohio.
What's our species today?
Today is American Walnut.
Okay,
cool. They're very pretty.
Yeah.
And the trophies for Pikes Peak International are pretty special.
Is that you talked about on the show, was that Jatoba?
It's Jatoba, okay. Which is like a Brazilian equivalent of cherry.
It's kind of a cool name, but.
And it's very cool. And yeah. with some natural like wood finish, tung oil probably.
Very cool.
They'll be very pretty.
I'm looking forward to it. All right, buddy. I appreciate you coming out in the middle of a pandemic, missing your brand new baby. But it's good to have you here, man.
So. Yeah.
All right. I think I'll sign off here. Maybe we can, go get some lunch. I'm getting hungry.
I'm pretty hungry too.
Thanks everybody.
Slip Angle was created by Austin Cabot and Adam Jabe, co-hosted by Derek Yarbrough and production by Abram Schmucker, who mixes all of our terrible audio. If you like the show, please rate us and review us on iTunes and come and find us in the pits at a grid live to say hello.